If you're in possession of something that's dearer to you than life itself, and you knew that by giving it away, it could enrich the lives of your fellow men without making your life any poorer, you'd want to do it, wouldn't you? My testimony of the divinity of this church is that treasure dearer to me than life itself, and I have given it away to many, many people whose lives have been enriched by virtue of the same. I have had the privilege of bearing testimony in 98 general conferences of the church from this pulpit, and I have written books that are being used almost all over the world containing my testimonies. And that testimony I obtained in my youth through the Holy Ghost that I received by laying on of hands by those who had authority to convey it upon me. And it made such an impression upon me as a boy that it has been a guiding star to me all my life. And I could hardly wait until I was old enough to go on a mission. When I went on my first mission back in 1905, my cousin and I traveled together to Liverpool, and he was sent up into Norway, and I was sent into Holland. And after we'd been in the mission field a few months, I received a letter from him calling me by name, and he said, "I met a man the other day who knows more about religion than I ever dreamed of. And I told him if he had something better than I had, I would join his church." I wrote him back, calling him by name. I said, "You told him just the right thing. If he has something better than you have, you ought to join his church." And then I quoted some of the experiences that Brother Fiennes related to us this morning. I said, "If he has something better than a personal visitation of God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ in a pillar of light after centuries of darkness to open the dispensation of the fullness of times," I said, "and to reveal the true personality of the Godhead, that they are glorified personages," I said, "does he have something better than the coming of Moroni with the plates from which the Book of Mormon was translated? Does he have something better than the coming of John the Baptist with the Aaronic priesthood, the power and authority to baptize by immersion for the remission of sins? Does he have something better than the coming of Peter, James, and John, apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the holy Melchizedek priesthood, the holy apostleship, the authority to organize the church and kingdom of God for the last time, to prepare the way for the coming of the Son of Man, and to convey the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands? Does he have something better than the coming of Moses with the keys of latter-day gathering of Israel that has brought us here into these valleys of the mountains? Did he have something better than the coming of Elijah, of whose coming Malachi bore testimony that if it were not for his coming before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, the whole earth would be utterly wasted at his coming? Think of the consequences." Now I said, "If he has something better than that, you join his church." I can't think of anything that we as parents and as leaders in Israel can plant into the hearts of our youth that will help them to avoid the evils and pitfalls and temptations of this world and the false philosophies of men, and enable them to live in the world and yet not be a part of the world, like having planted in their hearts through the power of the Holy Ghost a testimony of the truth of this restored gospel. If I like the words of the Apostle Peter. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and we do well that we cleave unto it as unto a light shining in a dark place until the day star arise in our hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in olden time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what brings testimony. And then Peter said to those who had put to death the Christ following the where they received the Holy Ghost. It's written in my mind a minute. He said, repent ye and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send unto you Jesus Christ, who before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things, spoken with the mouths of all the holy prophets since the world began. No man can believe that Peter was a prophet of the living God and look for that truth that is necessary to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord, except it be a restitution of all things spoken by the mouths of all the holy prophets since the world began. And a restitution is not a reformation. All the churches of the world today have attempted to correct the mistakes of history until there are hundreds of them because they couldn't agree. And if they had the truth, they'd all be alike. And so we have to have a restitution. That means that those holy prophets had to come back to this earth. And that's what you've been told here in this conference. And if they came back to this earth, they had to come to somebody. And that somebody could be none other than a prophet of God, like Amos said, for surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servant the prophets. We bear testimony of this restitution of all things. The coming of these holy prophets has been pointed out here during this conference today. I like the prophecies of the Scriptures. Jesus said as he walked along the way toward Emmaus with two of his disciples following his resurrection, and he heard what they had to say. He knew that they didn't understand and comprehend what the prophets had said, and he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And commencing with Moses and the prophets, he showed them how that in all things the prophets had testified of him. I love the prophecies of Isaiah. Seems to me that he almost lived more in our day than when he was actually upon the earth. He saw so much of what would transpire in our day. He saw us settled here in these valleys of the mountains. He saw this desert where we were 1,000 miles from transportation and supplies made to blossom as a rose. He saw the rivers flow in the desert where we built these great irrigation canals. He saw the water flow down from the high places where we reservoirs in these mountain fastnesses for summer's use. He saw the daughters of Zion come up and sing in the heights of Zion. And where do you find anything in the world to fulfill that like the singing of the tabernacle choir for over 50 years without a break? He saw the mountain of the Lord's house established in the top of the mountains in the latter days when all nations would flow unto it. And they would say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he might teach us of his ways, and he might walk, and we might walk in his paths. Now in the Scriptures, there are many, many prophecies of the regathering of the Jews back to Jerusalem. But this prophecy said, and all nations would say unto thee, let us walk and come up to the mountain of the Lord's house. Jeremiah saw the day when it should no longer be said, as sure as God lives, who led Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage and captivity. But as sure as God hath gathered Israel from the four quarters of the earth, whithersoever they have been scattered. He said that he would send for many fishers and many hunters, and they would fish them and hunt them from the hills and the mountains and the holes in the rocks. That's this 31,000 Mormon missionaries scattered all over the world, gathering in the seed of Israel and bringing them to Zion. He saw how they'd be gathered, one of a city and two of a family, and he would bring them, the Lord would bring them to Zion, and he would give them pastors after his own heart who should feed them with knowledge and with understanding. Could anybody sit through sessions of the conference like we've had prior to this one and listen to these prophets of the living God and not realize that Jeremiah saw the day when they should come here gathered, one of a city and two of a family, and that he would give them pastors after his own heart. I love the prophecies of Isaiah. I like the 29th chapter where he said that because this people draw near me with their mouths and with their lips to honor me, but their hearts are far removed from me, and they teach for doctrine the precepts of men. Therefore I, the Lord, will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. There aren't any wise men in this world today, nor prudent men, can understand all of the prophecies like we Latter-day Saints do through the restoration of this gospel and some of the prophecies that I have already referred to and have been referred to in this conference. Then Isaiah, in that very same 29th chapter, starts out like this. He said, woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. That was Jerusalem. That's where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, meaning coming generations. Let them kill sacrifice, and it shall be camped about, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. In other words, Isaiah didn't only see the destruction of the great city of Jerusalem, but he saw the destruction of another great center here in America 1,100 years after he made that prophecy, just like when he described the downfall of Babylon 170 years before it was destroyed, when he said it should never be rebuilt. Now he said in that chapter that the wisdom of their wise men shall perish and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. There are so many things that have transpired in this day that the wise men of this world can't understand. And I haven't time here today to eliminate any more or enumerate any more to you, but my heart is full of gratitude to my Heavenly Father and full of testimony by the Holy Spirit of the divinity of this work, and I bear that testimony to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.